Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now? Happy Friday to you. Inching closer to the weekend, maybe you are already there. But regardless of where you are at on this Friday, thanks for making us a small part of it. Could the biggest upgrade for the Denver Broncos in 2024 already be in-house? We'll explain what we mean. Also, interesting comments made on national TV by a household name about the Broncos quarterback situation, which you are not going to want to miss, as it was just played for us during the break and I about fell over. So we'll get to that here in just a second. But before we do, telling you guys, Mike Evans is hanging out at the Ameristar Blackhawk tonight from 6 to 8. All right, catch all the March Hoops action on one of their amazing screens. They have the best food in Blackhawk. You can register to win some incredible prizes, including a staycation in one of their luxurious spa suites. They'll be giving away not one, not two, but three of those tonight. So go hang out with Mike Evans. This is like Mike Evans after dark, dude. 6 to 8 a.m. with Mike up in Blackhawk.
Oh, Blackhawk.
Smokes.
Man, I ain't been up to Blackhawk in a while.
It's been a minute for me, too. But you go hang out with Mike, you get after hours Mike, man. That's just fun. That's fun. For more information, go to AmeristarBlackhawk.com. Okay. CU is in a dogfight right now with Florida in a much higher scoring game than we've seen here. They're 28-24, just a little over midway through the first half. We'll update you on what you need to know from that game, but good one shaping up so far. As we look forward, Mr. Philip Lindsay, to the Denver Broncos in 2024, you know, they're hopefully going to get some upgrades, all right, through the draft and hopefully a couple impact players. But if the Broncos are going to be good, and certainly if they're not going to be bad, they need some of the guys that are already here to step up year over year and be the best version of themselves.
Yes, sir.
And you know what I thought of, and it's not a exact parallel, but Val Nichushkin post trade deadline. You know, the trade deadline kind of synced up with Val's organic return.
Yeah.
So it was almost like he felt like an addition, but he was already here. And it's like he changes the team. And who is already here that just can play better and change the team?
What side of the ball are we talking right now? What side do you want to start on? Because you have to have both sides.
Let's start on offense. Offense. And it's got to be realistic, like that you believe and could see legitimately this guy being just way better than he was the previous year.
For sure. I mean, so you already have the vets like Courtland Sutton. At this point, you've seen what you're going to get out of Courtland. You know, maybe a couple more big plays here or there, but Courtland is who he is. All right. He's not going to be this barn burner. Marvin Mims. We haven't seen enough of Marvin Mims.
Right.
That's my guy. Right. He needs to step up in a major way. He has the speed. He has the breakaway ability. Really great special teamer, a returner. But he needs to be able to do that on the offensive side of the ball. There was a game that we watched him have two receptions for 113 yards.
I know.
He could take the roof off the house, man. And if he can just hole in on his craft, find a way to get better at being a route runner, and be that target that we need, be that consistent target that Jerry Jeudy was not, or what Stink wants to say, Jimmy Jeudy is not.
So funny. Jimmy Jeudy.
Yeah, he's going to come up big for us, especially for someone like, even if it's not the young man to start, whoever the draft pick is going to be at the quarterback position. If it is Jarrett Stidham, right? Which we've watched his highlight films, and we can kind of see why someone like Sean would kind of fall in love with a quarterback like Jared.
Yeah.
Because he's in the pocket. He does make consistent passes. Okay, he's going, you know what, Zach? One thing I did like about Jared that a lot of people, I don't know if they know about him, is his feistiness. There's a couple times now.
Yes,
he barked back at Sean. I'm like,
there was that one time he literally waved him off.
Yes. That's something that I could get used to. That I could end up falling in love with somebody like that because he does have that, hey, I want to be great. I want our team to be great. That leadership quality Whereas Russell Wilson was, yeah, everybody is good. We're okay. No, sometimes you got to get in people's butt.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to let people know and hold them accountable that you're not doing things right. And if Jarrett Stidham can do that, that's one of the reasons why they may want to keep him or let him start the season off.
It's interesting that you remember that about Stidham, because he does, he's got a little feistiness to him. And honestly, maybe that is something, not like that's what Sean's looking for, but maybe that's something that he doesn't mind, right? It's like,
we talked about it.
I'm pretty sure, like, your wife calls you out on your stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
All the time. I get annoyed of it.
Yeah, of course. But you probably also wouldn't have married her if she didn't have that quality to keep it real with you and give you pushback. And so when Sean's in Russell's face, it's like nothing. Getting Stidham's face, I don't know.
He's waving him off.
He might wave you off or just scream back at you.
I'm the captain of this ship.
Well, we've seen this. We've seen, you know, a Peyton Manning be vocal on the sideline in a demonstrative way. Tom Brady and his coordinator going back and forth. Like, and then forgive me for putting Stidham side by side in a sentence with Peyton and Tom. I didn't mean
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a great one.
How about him?
Man.
Him and Bienemy used to be screaming at each other.
Yes, and he screams at his. Tyreek Hill came out with a story with Patrick Mahomes that called out Tyreek Hill and everybody else. And Patrick Mahomes went up to Tyreek Hill during practice and said, "You think that you've made it? You think that you're good because you're fast?" He was like, "I tell you this, you better get your butt open. You better get open when you're supposed to, or you will not get the ball." When you have a quarterback that can stand up to Travis Kelce, to Tyreek Hill at that time, and he was younger at that time, you know you have somebody special. And if Jarrett Stidham can do that for this young bunch of, you know, kids coming in and the people like Courtland Sutton, they may not be as far off as we think.
Well, we were talking about Stidham's performance against, and we'll circle back to this conversation, because I have a couple candidates who can play much better this year than last year, and that in itself could be an internal kind of upgrade, if you will. But we did go back and watch Stidham's first start against the San Francisco 49ers, and he was awesome. Now, was he perfect? No, but he was awesome. It's hard, and you can go watch it on YouTube. They have every throw in a 5-minute video if you type in Jarrett Stidham.
Hey, watch what you say. Jerry Judy was already saying people were watching it on YouTube.
All right. But this is one, like, if you type in Jarrett Stidham to YouTube, like, you know, it has the autofill, you know, for you, it will autofill game versus 49ers.
Mm.
And if you watch that, you see some of the things that Sean Payton saw, and Sean Payton referenced that game against the Niners 11 months ago this week in talking about why Stidham was a priority. He can't get over that game against the Niners. And we talked about that earlier in the week, because I referenced the old study, us as human beings, once we have an impression that's made, whether it's good or bad, first impression, you kind of have a tendency, just as people, to get locked into what that is. And they really have to go above and beyond to flip you on that initial impression. And I think you're going through that with another player in Denver sports.
Mm.
And that's Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
That initially, like, and you've been playing in the NFL, and so you weren't watching this team closely, the Nuggets, I mean. And then you watch a month and 2 months, and it's like, what is the fuss on this guy? But and then he starts to play better. But you need to see it over and over and over.
So tell me this, right? With the saying for MPJ, and then I'm going to ask you for Jarrett Stidham at this time. Is MPJ somebody that people at one point didn't want, but we need, right? Because when MPJ was going through all the stuff where he wasn't doing well, it's like, yo, why are we paying him $33 million? Why do we want him right here? We don't need him, right? But then it's like, he's starting to see. We're starting to see. I'm starting to see why we do need him. Do we need MPJ?
God, that's a good question. Yes.
Ooh.
I'll say yes, because I don't know what this contender looks like without him. And because I don't know what it looks like without him, and again, is it perfect all the time? Did he struggle shooting it during the finals?
Yeah.
But man, I watched that guy. And this is what I would tell you through those months where your criticisms were fair. And I never said your criticisms weren't fair. I said, I go back to the library from last spring.
Yeah.
And the second year of him playing, when he averaged 19 points a game over 60 games over a whole season. Like, I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
That's why it was a struggle for me to see him not do it for such a long period of time. Guys are going to struggle with confidence in this and that, but that was a real struggle for him for a long time this year.
It was.
So, yeah, to answer the question, you're kind of putting me on the spot, but I like it. Yeah, I will say right now, yeah, they need him to win a championship.
Okay, so for Jared Stidham, right? We are not high on Jared Stidham.
No.
Because it's Jared Stidham at this point, right? He's not that sexy look. We want that young buck coming in and being drafted. But right now, we may not want Jared Stidham, but do we need him? Do we need Jared Stidham?
Because
we want to win
games.
We want to win games. Nobody else is on the roster, so you have this young bull coming in and Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham has shown that he can do some good things. He has a bright spots, but also he has a little bit of feistiness to him, right? Somebody needs to be able to, a young rookie sometimes needs somebody to look at to kind of jumpstart, like, okay, this is what it looks like a little bit. Jared Stidham, we still want to win games. We still need to win games, right? That's the name of the game, is to win games. We don't, you're like me, right? We're not sitting here and wanting the tank.
No.
So
I don't even know what that looks like.
Exactly,
you're
right?
The Denver Broncos in the NFL, send the NBA.
So in order to win these games, do you feel like we need Jared Stidham?
No.
Hmm.
Not to win games. Although I like where your head's at and the direction you're going, Jared, to say the Broncos need Jared Stidham to win games, Jared Stidham has won a game.
Yeah.
Game in the NFL. So I like where you're going, but it's like the evidence, I just can't go there because I don't have enough to draw from. But let's ask Mike Kliss here, who's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline with us. Mike, thanks for your time on a Friday here. Is Jared Stidham the most likely option to be starting for the Denver Broncos week one next year, no matter what they do next month in the draft?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, he's still there with, I think he's making $6 million this year. And, you know, the number 12 pick kind of is in no man's land as far as landing the quarterback that you want to land a day one starter. Maybe Bo Nix would be ready to go day one. That's definitely possible. Michael Penix, I doubt the Broncos take him at number 12, but there's a chance with a good training camp and Sean Payton coaching him up that they would start. But the most likely scenario with all these guys, except for, you know, the very top, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, except for those three, you would think that the next set of quarterbacks where the Broncos are going to be, that they would that number one pick would sit for three or four games anyway, if not longer, and Jared Stidham would start. That's the way it looks right now.
Well, Mike, if Jared Stidham is going to be the starter of week one as a quarterback position, I've been hearing that we're still going out there and we possibly are going to pick up a veteran quarterback. Like, we keep hearing that. Is there still a possibility of that happening? And if so, what are the options at this point?
Yeah, well, the options, it seems like the best options are for trade. And maybe that's why it's taken a minute, which, you know, trades tend to happen, first of all, when free agency opens. And then they happen again leading up to and during the draft. And so, you know, Zach Wilson, for instance, everyone thinks he's available going into his fourth year. One thing I wonder about Zach Wilson, do the Jets have to decline his option first, which I'm sure they would? Would they decline his fifth-year option before they trade him? Will that have to be settled before Zach Wilson is put on the trade market? If his fifth year option is declined, he would be more he would have more trade value in that you know, he's not as much money. You know, Keenan Allen only got a fourth round draft pick largely because he was making $23 million. So he's making $23 million this year. I mean, that has a lot to do with the guy's trade value. So, you know, maybe someone like him, New England, see what they do in the draft. Maybe Bailey Zappi, I'm just spitballing here, becomes available. You know, I think maybe after the draft. The way it seems to be falling now is it seems to me like the Broncos might be waiting to see how the draft falls before they jump in and get a veteran, as well as their own first round pick, but maybe a veteran right on top of that during the draft.
Mike and Mike Kliss is joining us. He's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. You know, I was having the conversation with Phil, and we haven't really had it expansively yet. But I said, hey, if the Denver Broncos are going to be good next year, all right, and say they go 9-8, they're going to have to have internal guys step up and play a lot better. It's not going to be all like new additions, you know, making that happen. Can you think of an internal Denver Bronco who is coming back in 2024 who just simply needs to be better and can be the best version of himself to help this football team?
I'll give you a couple. Elijah Garcia, remember him from preseason? I think that's a guy along the defensive line that they're going to count on to get better. I'm not sure where they're at with any, you know, coming back from the gambling suspension. Boy, how about Otani, by the way? What a story that is.
Do you think he was in on that, Mike? Because I think Otani, I got to tie half my brain behind my back to think that Shohei Otani was not involved with that some way or somehow.
Yeah, I'm going to say Otani didn't gamble, but he may have done some, you know, he might have moved some money around to protect his buddy and might have done some things that were untoward. That's where I would be right now in this investigation, just kind of going. But it's hard for me to believe that he gambled.
Why? Why is that so hard for you to believe?
Because he's such a great guy. I don't know. I mean, that's
Mike, I gamble. Well, I gamble most of.
Why do you? But. Yeah, what he doesn't, he wouldn't need the action. Baseball's playing baseball at that level. He pitches and hits. Isn't that enough action?
No, Mike, but he's not gambling on baseball. They were gambling on other sports.
Yeah. Well, he's got. I guess when you're making $70 million a year, I don't know.
But Mike, why does Michael Jordan gamble?
You can only go down from there, right?
Why does Michael Jordan gamble? Why does Charles Barkley gamble? Why does Tiger Woods gamble? Why did Phil Mickelson get down $100 million in debt?
Yeah, they're so competitive that they got to have action. Yeah, okay. All right.
Just
keep my mind open here. My mind open, Zach. I'm glad you. I guess part of me just doesn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I like the guy. He's a hero. I also don't want to accuse him in any way if he didn't do it. But obviously, he's tied to someone who did it, and that is just a horrible look for baseball and its biggest star, and you know, really globally too. But anyway,
where were we? You know what? You know, Mike, it's actually just the perfect place to leave it.
Oh, yeah, any. It was any.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, right,
on
right,
him.
Right.
Riley Moss at corner. You got to count on him. At center, you got Andy, the seventh round pick last year.
Forsythe? Alex Forsythe?
Yeah, Forsythe out of Oregon. You got to count on him.
Hey Mike, real quick. Do you know who Alex Forsythe's quarterback was his last year in college?
Oh, would have been Bo Nix.
Uh-oh. Would have been Bo Nix.
All right. Well, he knows how to hike and move.
yes, he does.
You know. So that, and Luke Wattenberg will compete with him right there. But yeah, you're right. The way the Broncos, Drew Sanders, he has to be a starter. These third round picks that they had, the two third round picks they had last year, the third round picks become starters in year two. So you're counting on Riley Moss and Drew Sanders to step up for sure here in 2024. And some of that is making room for these guys. PJ Locke has to be better. That's where they're at. You know, when you got to eat $52 million in dead cap, which is 21% of your payroll, you're definitely going to need some young guys to step up.
No question about it. We appreciate you stepping up for us on a Friday. A fun conversation. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
All right, go get him, guys.
All right, there he goes, the one and the only, Mike Kliss. I'm sorry, man. I look at the Ohtani situation. I'm like, that can't be your best friend, inseparable for 10 years.
Yeah.
The person who speaks your native lung in a foreign land. Mm. They're inseparable, and you have multiple repeated wire transfers. This one's for $400,000. This one's for $500,000. And it's coming from your bank account. And if the original story was true, which the interpreter said, I got in so much gambling debt, it's $4.5 million bucks, then Ohtani would just pay it. But when you have consistent transfers, that's like, oh, I lost this week. Boom, boom, boom. Here's the wire transfer. Maybe you won, but now you're down at $500,000 again. Oh, here's your wire transfer. And then to say you knew nothing about it after you guys changed your initial story, I smell something rotten.
Yeah, Zach, it's not good. It's not a good situation. It's an unfortunate situation because Ohtani, although he may like gambling, which a lot of people do,
yes,
right? A lot of people
I
get in trouble
my
doing
hand.
It. Yeah,
sure,
and it's
sure.
Okay, right? But you also have to understand who you are and the place that you're put in right now, and there's a microscope over you, that you have to be a little bit more discreet with it if you're going to do something like that.
Right, agreed. Here's my question, seriously. Will Major League Baseball work with him to make this go away?
Because
I think they're going to.
Yeah.
He's too big of a deal to a sport that cannot afford to lose arguably the face of it.
Yeah. No, they're going to find a way. There's always a way.
Yeah.
Always a way. There always will be a way. And they're going to make sure that this goes under the rug.
We'll see how it all plays out. Did Nico Medved coach his last game for Colorado State last night? And is Tad Boyle coaching his last game for CU Boulder? I'm going to ask both of those questions. Get your response coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
Okay. Colorado Buffaloes. Florida Gators.
Buffalo.
Tied 45-45 at the half.
Let's go. That's a high-scoring game for you.
It is. It is, truly. I mean, that there's going to be a bunch of points on the board if that pace continues. But dead tied at the break. Leading scorer for CU is between two different people, KJ Simpson and Tristan Da Silva, with 9 points apiece. That's probably how you would wanted that.
That's what you want.
Yeah, like an hour ago, if I told you that at the half, the leading scorers are tied between Da Silva and KJ Simpson, you'd feel good about that, and that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, and Eddie Lampkin's going to have to come up big. I know he's probably been doing some big things here. He needs to stay consistent. The rebounding, it's what's going to help the Buffaloes pull this off. They're going to have to rebound, and then they can sing the fight song.
Well, I love it. They're winning that rebounding battle by a nose. Let me ask you this. There seems to be some chatter that Tad Boyle may walk away after this year. Phil, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that's rooted in any reality, but heard talking about it. You know, we got our buff here, a fellow buff in addition to you, Drew, behind the glass is a Colorado guy. Matt Smith was in here saying he's kind of hearing some chatter about that. Do you think Tad could walk away?
Look, you start to hear chatter, and it ends up being true, right? You start hearing rumors. If you have enough people talking about it, it's true. I can see it where Tad decides to step down and retire. I don't see Tad stepping down and going somewhere else. He's too loved here. They're not going to fire old Tad Boyle, especially if he can win this game. But if he's tired and ready to kind of give it up, I could see that happening.
I could too, because a massive change is happening in college sports right now in general. And then underneath that massive change within the sport, a massive change is about to happen to Colorado basketball.
Yeah.
And that change is going to get a lot tougher to win games, man.
Mm.
They're going to basically the SEC of basketball, and that's going to the Big 12.
Yeah.
And if we were to use a football analogy, it's like there's no nights off, man. That's the best basketball conference in the country at the college level. And adding all that up together, Tad might just be like, You want to know what? I had a great run. I'm good.
Yeah, which is fine. Which is fine. If he's not up for the task, which is a big task, and, you know, you're asking him to do a lot, and he's, what, 61?
Yeah, 61.
Then, yeah, step down. Don't force yourself to do something you don't want to do, especially if you can't get the talent there. You're going to have to find a way to get talent
right
when you're in the Big 12.
Right. But, and here's the thing. He did just get an incredible talent in Cody Williams, the highest-rated recruit in the history of the program, and it's like, didn't go perfectly.
Oh, Cody needs to stay. Cody needs to stay for another year.
Oh, he's gone, dude.
I know he's gone.
He's gone.
But if he was smart, you might want to stay. I don't know. What you think?
He's got to go.
Okay.
If you're even close to projected top 10 pick.
But is he going to be?
I think he'll be somewhere 7, 8, 9, 10, something like
okay.
that. And he's a boy. I mean, he's got such a long way to go. This kid is, I mean, how old's Cody Williams? 19 years old?
It has to be 19.
I mean, goodness, he's got, and if we have a guy like Peyton Watson here in our backyard, who if you were like a UCLA Bruin fan and you watched him, maybe he drove you mad. Like, this is the five-star, and then he's actually having a better year with the Nuggets first year playing than he did his 1 year at UCLA. So who knows what's in store for young Cody Williams? But again, like, Tad just went through the experiment. Not sure he enjoyed every step of that process, you know?
Oh, yeah, he definitely didn't enjoy it. He definitely did not enjoy it.
All right, let's keep it pushing here.
1, 2!
CSU loses to Texas last night, 56-44. This is Nico Medved after the game.
I've been around some great groups. This group is just a phenomenal group of young men in every way. They're so fun to be around. They're such great human beings. They work so hard. They're so unselfish. And you know what? When you look back on it, you know, this is a historic season. You know, we got to our highest, tell me if I'm wrong, I think we got to our highest ranking in school history. We spent as much time as we ever have in the top 25 poll. We sold out the arena again multiple times. We got to the NCAA tournament and we won when we got here.
What kind of year was it for Colorado State?
Oh, it was an exceptional year. They did great, but it has some ups and downs as well. Right? It wasn't like when you're looking at the records, like, okay, they did do some good things. But when you're watching the games, they let a lot slip, okay? They were ranked high at one point and lost it, all right? And then they had where to me it's like buzzer beater shots that kind of kill momentum, kill confidence. They had a couple of those games.
Yeah.
All right, but overall, Nico Medved did a great job with the players that he had because to me, watching the games, especially yesterday, they're not all that athletic,
no.
Right? They don't have that, to me, like, explosiveness as I thought they should or would have, especially being ranked as high as they were at some point.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said because, you know, this was at some point billed as like, hey, this might be the greatest Colorado State team of all time.
Yeah.
And when they get the highest 13th ranked team in the country and you have people like, Doug Gottlieb who said it was they were the fourth ranked team? He said, not they're fourth ranked. He thought at one point in the season that Colorado State was the fourth best team in the whole country.
Yeah.
Then you look at it, it's like Isaiah Stevens, like, incredible career, but Joel Scott was playing Division II basketball.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Clifford was at Colorado and had to transfer because there wasn't a perfect path for him to play. Patrick Cartier was a Division II basketball player. So I look at it after it's all said and done, like, damn, they actually got an incredible amount out of this team.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
a credit to Nico Medved.
Yes. Yes. Nico did a great job with this crew of kids. And the kids played for him.
They did.
Discipline basketball, bought in, and they had a great year, you know? So they should, you know, get their flowers for what they have done.
Yeah.
But Nico Medved, I don't see coming back.
Oh, you think he's out?
I think he's out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Maybe it very well may be the case. He's done a great job in 6 years. Tournament team a few times, 225 win seasons, four of the 6 years, 20 wins or more. Really good job. And he's 50 years old professionally. That's, you know, you're in your prime professionally at 50. And, you know, if you're talking about real life. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what's next. I have a tendency to think he'll be back, but shoot, it wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong. So we'll keep our eye on it.
1, 2, 3.
How about Travis Hunter? Travis Hunter, cornerback and wide receiver for CU. See if that changes this year, by the way. Can maybe circle back to that at some point. But
and kicker. And running back.
He does it all. He is a great, exceptional athlete. And viral moment here on the last 24 hours. He bought his mom. Typically, you do this like when you make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
He is a college kid who bought his mom a 5-bedroom dream house. Wow. What do you
think? Good for him, man. He's in college. How old does he have to be? Like 20? 20 years old? Maybe 21?
Yeah, like, yeah, maybe 21.
Right? And this man is buying, or this young man is buying his mother a 5-bedroom house in college.
Yeah. Savannah, Georgia. 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath. Man, he seems like a good kid. He seems like such a likable kid. Yeah, I don't know him, but goodness, he seems like a great kid.
Yeah, great kid. You know, I think he's guaranteed to get married. If I'm correct, I seen him propose to his, soon-to-be wife.
Yep. That's a mistake.
Do not get married in college.
Do not get married in college. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what it is? It's a mistake, Zach, until you have to be in a situation where you're making a lot of money. It's harder to find somebody sometimes when you get to the NFL.
Sure. Oh, sure.
You know, the MLB, the NHL.
Do they really love me for me?
You start to question things.
Sure.
But if you find somebody that, and I don't know how long the relationship is, and I'm not Dr. Phil, but maybe I am.
I like that Dr. Phil. You know? That could be a segment.
Dr. Phil, maybe I am. But when you have someone that has been there for you for the longest, or you think for the longest.
Sure.
You're going to be more comfortable with that person than trying to find somebody else that ends up being there just for who you are.
Sure. Interesting. I like that. I just think naturally in college,
you're still
put a ring on your finger. It's gonna be like this weekend, it's gonna be 2:00 in the morning, you're gonna be out partying. It's like don't put yourself in that position.
Well, yeah, especially if you're not ready.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Yes, yes. Okay. We'll shift gears here. The way we watch NFL football is about to change yet again in 2024. We'll catch you up on what you need to know coming up next.
It's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
The way we watch NFL football is going to change yet again in 2024. We'll catch you up on what you need to know. This will get more real next week, because I believe that's when the league meetings are going to take place, and we'll have some news coming out of those league meetings. We do almost every single year.
Yeah.
And curious where you stand on this stuff. And it's interesting that someone like yourself is so fresh out of the NFL, where you were playing in an NFL game last year, which is still just wild.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, man, for myself, too.
The tush push. Do you think the tush push has a place in professional football?
I do. Every single person out there, every single team has the ability to do the push-tush, right?
Flip it.
What is it? The tush push.
There
push,
you go.
Tush. Push tush. Tush push.
The tush push. You know, my favorite name was for it is the brotherly shove.
Oh yeah, I like that one.
Out of Philly, of course.
There goes the answer for me. It's the Eagles found a way to do it and do it well. All right, every team has the ability to do what the Eagles are doing.
Correct.
They've tried. And it just doesn't work out for them. So now we have to take it out the game because it doesn't work out for the 49ers or whoever the case may be. That's not how it goes. This is football still.
Yeah.
Find ways to stop the play. There are ways to stop the play, but you just have to find those ways to stop it.
So I, at the very end of the day, agree with you.
Okay.
But I don't like the play.
Why?
Because and I'm going to talk out of two sides of my mouth here, so I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, but just bear with me. It just doesn't feel like any other play in the sport. It doesn't feel like a professional athlete play. It's like unrecognizable to every other play in the game. But that being said, how could I disagree on everything that you said? Anyone else can try. I watched Buffalo try to do it. They look like clowns doing it.
Horrible.
It's just like Philly has mastered it. Every other team has the ability to master it. So I don't like the play itself, but you're not doing anything illegal to ban it, because really it only hurts just one team. That's the one team that's actually good at it.
Well, how dare you say it's not an athletic play? Zach, football is all about leverage.
Mm.
The first thing that you learn is the lowest
man wins.
Exactly. And that's what the tush push is.
Yeah.
You're lower than the other person. It's done in rugby.
That's why, right? I don't like it. It looks like rugby to me.
But rugby is a different thing, but it's a spinoff to football.
Sure.
It's kind of, they kind of go hand in hand. So the lowest man wins. Get lower than the center. Okay, get lower than that big boy up front. And you can stop it or clog it up. But it helps when your quarterback is strong as heck. Okay, Jalen Hurts is stronger than an ox, man.
Totally.
Squatting 500 pounds like it's nothing, right? So he gets low. The offensive line gets low. Everybody has an opportunity to stop the play, and they have not. But it's an athletic play. That's when all them squats come into play.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on that. But ultimately, the tush push, it turns out, it's not going anywhere.
Okay.
What, I'm curious your thought on this. Because the NFLPA just in the last 48 hours tried to build up this movement against hip drop tackling.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, this technique, the league says, has resulted in an injury rate that is up to 25 times higher than on tackles when it's not employed. And we're going to see next week, because this is going to get voted on. But the new rule calls for a 15-yard penalty if a defender grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself, like detaching his body from the ground and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's leg or legs at or below the knee. That's the definition that they're looking to rule out of the game.
Yeah, I like that rule. Don't have that rule in there. Now, there's something that you can learn, right? The proper way to tackle is like gator rolling, doing things like that. That's still, legal. But hip dropping, you're 240 pounds, 250 pounds. I'm 190 pounds. I'm running. Okay, you should be able to stop me anyway. But if I'm dragging you and you decide to put all your weight down to break my ankles and now I can't play, I can't feed my family because of what you've done, and people don't want to come to the game to see Derrick Henry not playing. See someone like Jonathan Taylor not playing because he got hip dropped. So I'm okay with that being said. I know a lot of defensive players are upset, and I agree. There's so much against them. Right?
I was just going to say, because your definition, it's so from the lens of it. Right, and this is why I'm asking you. But it's so from the offensive lens. If you're one of these defenders, like Kareem Jackson, it's like, I can't hit you in your knees. I can't hit you up top. And now I can't unweight myself and I wonder what, these...
It's hard, man. There's certain rules that the defensive players can't do anymore, which they should be able to do. But hip dropping is one of those where it's like 8 times out of 10, you're going to hurt somebody. It's either going to be a sprained ankle or a broken ankle, right? I seen Justin Simmons tweet something about it. It was like, then why don't we just let them run and stuff? We can't tackle anymore. I'm like, first off, Justin, I ain't never seen you do a hip drop. They probably drag you to the end zone.
Oh, no.
All right?
Oh, no.
You're not doing a hip drop. I know that for a fact.
Oh, no.
But I agree that there are a lot of different things that's going against the defense nowadays. I would hate to be a defensive player, especially a cornerback, although corners get paid a lot of money.
Sure. Okay, so you are okay with getting this hip drop tackle out of the game of football?
Yep.
Okay. Ultimately, I think it's going to get ruled out.
Okay.
I think it's good because when they're quoting the stats that on that technique of tackling, the injury rate is up to 25 times higher, and you're trying to make the game safer.
Yeah.
It's not just about your brain.
No.
They're trying to keep guys on the field. I think reasonable minds can disagree on this one. I do, because I could see a defender sitting there, much like Justin Simmons, like, what do you want me to do? With these offensive players, I can't play.
Yeah.
Can't play the game the way I grew up playing it. And then I'm also curious because the NFL is aiming to remake kickoff formations and return options. It's a little bit confusing to talk about over radio, just to be honest with you.
Go watch a UFL game this year, right? Go watch a UFL game because that's where they're getting this from. There's a lot of things that the NFL wants to do and incorporate into the NFL lifestyle of the game, but they want the UFL or XFL at one time to do it.
And to experiment with it.
Exactly. So you're going to see a lot of different things go on in these XFL and these UFL games, but the NFL is telling them and asking them if they could do this for them.
Yeah, and I think that's smart, creating a cooperation and seeing how it looks. Basically, you know, the nuts and bolts of it is the longstanding nature of guys running from in the entire field to crack each other. They're kind of legislating that out where guys are like stationary and closer together.
Yep.
No one can take off until
the ball is being returned. Okay. Yeah,
now,
you're right.
So it's like they have to have the ball and there's like a landing zone that's between the 0 and the 20. And there's consequences if you actually miss the kick and it's before or out of bounds or whatever, they get it at the 40, their own 40. So you're already approaching midfield if you get penalized. And again, it's another one of these mechanisms where they're trying to keep the game safer. When you were in the XFL, were they doing this?
They were. Yeah. And honestly, it's harder because actually I was on the special team part about it.
Okay.
Right. I returned the kicks and it looks like you're going to, like, they'll be able to return a lot of footballs, which that's a good thing. You want to be able to see that part of the game. But I thought, okay, there's going to be a lot of kick returns because of this. And there really wasn't.
No,
really? There
may
be one or two the whole entire season that someone broke a kick return.
Okay.
Because everybody is so stationed and everybody's already moved up, where everything is just kind of meshed together. And by the time you're able to kind of take off, people have angles on you.
Okay.
So it's tough, but it's going to bring excitement to the game. And these kickers are so good now and creative that it gives them something to do now other than just kick it out of bounds. This is somebody's livelihood. There's not going to be another Devin Hester if we don't do something like this. Devin Hester's going to the Hall of Fame because of what that man has done on the special team side of it. That's a play.
Yeah, they basically took the kickoff out of the game with these tweaks. And under this new proposal that'll be voted on next week by the owners, no more fair catching.
Mm.
So like we were saying that, kickers either kick it out of the end zone or guys just fair catching.
Yeah.
And it's like, they are not just tweaking it, but really taking the entire kickoff process and rethinking it. So we'll see. I know some people will be upset. They've changed NFL football a lot in the last 15, 20 years, and we still watch. So it's another thing of getting adjusted to, and we'll see how it shakes out next week at the league meetings. Okay, the dream of Denver sports having double MVPs may be coming into focus right before our eyes. The latest details coming up next.